Well, this morning you're probably looking and saying, what's going on? As the kids ask me, where's the projection screen going? Well, the projector is taking a Sabbath today. Actually, we've ordered the part, and the part was supposed to come in this week, the filter, and it didn't come in like it was supposed to, so the slides are not there. And the kids asked me during children's story, what are we going to do? I said, why don't you guys come up and act it out as I'm preaching? And they didn't like that idea. I said, we can survive without pictures. They said, oh, we need them. So the pictures are actually behind you, but you don't have to crane your neck every time to see them if you want. But they are there. I think, can we make it without pictures? I don't know. It's been a long time since I preached without pictures. We'll see how we do. Let's bow our heads as we approach God's throne. Gracious Father, Lord, we don't need a microphone. We don't need a projection screen or a projector. We just need you. We need you here. So we open our hearts to you now, Lord. Speak to us, because we need you. We need your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was smiling from ear to ear as I drove down the road. It was late at night, and I was making my way home. So what was it that had kept me out late this night? No, it wasn't my typical escapades from the past. This night, I drove home from my very first solo Bible study. Very first one I'd ever done. And I could barely contain myself as I was driving in the car. I was going along and I had the radio cranked up loud. Christian music, of course. And I was singing along. For some reason, I do my best singing when my audience is my steering wheel. I don't know why that is, but I was just singing. I was on top of the world. Just finished my first ever Bible study, and it was awesome. We went through the lesson, and I answered all their questions. And then when we finished, they had more questions, and I had more answers. And so I answered their questions, and then we kept talking longer and longer, and then they had more questions, and I knew the answers to those questions too, so we just kept talking, and it was so thrilling. I was just higher than I'd ever been. Couldn't wait to get home. Excited to tell Jeanette about my Bible study success. As I pulled into the parking lot, I felt like a superhero. I mean, I was Bible study man. Conquering the foes of false teaching and Bible confusion. I was just, couldn't wait. I practically bounced as I made my way down the steps to our apartment. And I opened the door to our apartment, and I had no idea that I was about to learn a lesson too that night. I was about to learn a lesson about a topic in the Bible is the main topic of Jesus' preaching. See, if Jesus' teachings in the Bible, if they were a sermon series, this would be the topic. And I was about to learn a lesson on this crucial topic of Jesus. So out of all the teachings of the Bible, out of all the teachings of Jesus, what's this one topic that Jesus would make into his sermon series? Let's look in our Bibles this morning and find out. And let's see if this topic still greatly affects our lives today as well. So if you have your Bibles, get them opened up. You can turn to Matthew. That's where we're going to start today. Typically, if you've ever gone to a concert or gone to see a performer, before that performer gets up on stage, sometimes they have someone else who comes on stage first. This is the opening act. And they go up there to kind of warm up the crowd. The person comes as the opening act, and they set the stage for the main player who is still to come. Well, in the New Testament, there is an opening act before Jesus begins his preaching. Do you know who it is? Who's the opening act for Jesus? Yes, you know him, John the Baptist, and he's preaching first. His job was to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, for the headliner. So what was the main thrust? What was the main topic of John's sermons? Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 3, you've already got it. You've already guessed it. Matthew chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. You'll turn with me there. Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So he's preaching and he calls the people to repent. That is, if you could sum it up in one word, that's what he was telling people to do. And then Jesus arrives and he begins his ministry of preaching. And let's see what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4. If you turn to our scripture reading for today, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. After Jesus reads from Isaiah the prophet. Verse 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, to say," what's the next word? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He calls the people to repent. And actually the phrase there, it says, "From that time he began to preach." So this is meaning that this wasn't just a one-time sermon he gave. From that time he began preaching, and the main thrust of his preaching was repent. Jesus tells us the very purpose of his preaching. If you'll turn to Luke now, Luke chapter 5, verse 32. You got to do a little turning today because we don't have the screen like normal. So get your Bible fingers working and get some exercise in the Bible today. Luke chapter 5, we'll start in verse 31. Luke chapter 5, verse 31. It says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what?'" To repentance. There's that word again. The topic of Jesus' sermon series, if he was going to preach a sermon series for us, the topic of his message would be repentance. And the message of repentance continued even after Jesus. The disciples picked up the banner and they began the sermon series as well. You can see the altar call of Peter in Acts chapter 2 if you want to turn there now. We'll take a look at what happened after Jesus goes back to heaven. The sermon series continues even after Jesus leaves us and goes to heaven. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the altar call of Peter's awesome sermon there in Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Peter again preaches in Acts chapter 3. Turn the page there. Acts chapter 3, he preaches another sermon, gets down to the end of it in verse 18, and he makes another altar call. And the appeal at the end of this message is again, "But those things which God foretold by the mouth of the prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Continuing the sermon series. And then it goes all the way to the very last book of the Bible. God's final altar call to people in the Bible happens in Revelation. And in Revelation, we find those messages to the seven churches. And in those messages to the seven churches, four different times, Jesus says to them, "Repent." Time and time again, we can see this is the message of Jesus, to repent. And then the final reminder of the crucial importance of this topic, just in case we hadn't realized it by now, time and time and time again, John tells us the fate of those who refuse to repent. So if you're in Revelation, look at chapter 16 with me. We see what happens to those at the end, who finally refused the call to repentance. Revelation 16, and we'll look at verse 11. Speaking of those who are lost, says, "They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds." So those who are lost, at the very end of time, are lost because they refuse to repent. It's no wonder that Jesus preached repentance. For it's this very topic. It's what decides eternal life and death. So the message of Jesus in the New Testament is repentance. So we got to understand this. This is his sermon series. What is repentance and how do we get it? Well, repentance is probably not a new word for you. I'm sure you've heard of it before. But could you give a definition to it? Could you sum up what repentance is? Many times we describe it as a turning away. And it is. The word means that as you were going this way, and then when you repent, it's, those of you who are in the military, it's that about face. It's a turning away from sin. And that's true. Repentance is a turning away from sin. But it's also, the Bible describes it as a sorrow for the sins that we've done. That's also true. So repentance is a turning away from sin. It's also a sorrow for sin. But there's something more. There's something that we miss. Because many times in life, what we focus on determines what we miss. And many times when you think you have the answer, this is the problem that many Christians struggle with, is we have answers. We have answers from the Bible, good answers. But once you have an answer, sometimes you don't dig deeper for a deeper answer. Because I got my answer and I'm right with my answer. But what we focus on determines what we miss. So we're going to dig a little deeper. The Greek word for repent is metanoio, and it literally means to change one's mind. That's what the word literally means. So when Peter and the disciples spoke about repenting in Acts, they were telling people to change their minds. Now, people. Do we change our minds easily? Do we as Christians change our minds easily? We're going to find this all out here in a couple weeks in San Antonio. There'll be a lot of people there talking about important topics that we've studied from the Bible. And as they studied one important topic of women's ordination, I asked the question when I was in D.C., did anyone of the hundreds of people who were studying that topic, did anyone change their mind? Not a one. Everybody who came in for was still for at the end. Everyone who came in against was still against at the end. So think about this. When the disciples are preaching, they say, repent, change your mind. How easy is that for us to do, even as believers? So what did they need to change their minds about? Two things. They and we have to change our minds about our sins and about Jesus Christ. So this is where the sorrow comes in that we've talked about. We change our minds about our sins. We no longer love sin. And most times in our lives as we're growing up, before we have Jesus, let's be honest, we love sin. We like it. Otherwise, no one would do it, right? So now we're called to change our minds. We're called to be sorry for the mistakes or the sins we've committed. But for that to happen, we have to change our minds about Jesus. And this is why the disciples continued preaching Jesus' sermon topic of repentance. Because people needed to know that their sins were what caused Jesus to suffer. That's why they took the message everywhere about what happened to Jesus. Because people needed to know and still need to know those are the mistakes that you and I make, those even seemingly small sins that we did. Those are the things that caused him to suffer. For by his stripes we're healed, amen? So when we begin to understand what our sins caused, our minds are changed to sorrow, leading us to repentance. And this many times is where we stop, thinking that repentance is just about sorrow for past sins. But friends, there's more. And this is the good news. Because repentance is not just an important topic in the New Testament. It's also everywhere when you look in the Old Testament. Now, we've talked about the Greek word for repent, but there's a Hebrew word for repent as well. And you're going to learn a Hebrew word today. The Hebrew word is Naham. Let's give it a try. Turn to your neighbor and say, nah, and you got to get the ha in there. Naham. Gesundheit. It took me a while to figure out exactly how to say that word. I was going to show it to you all, but it's got a C that's kind of silent in there, but it's naham. It's a beautiful word. It means to repent. 61% of the time in the Old Testament, that word naham is translated as repent. It's a powerful word. But what we've missed, what we don't realize, is in the Hebrew, this beautiful language, 38% of the time, that word naham is translated as comfort. Comfort. Friends, here is the good news about Jesus' sermon topic, his sermon series about repentance. God doesn't want to just give us sorrow for our past sins. God wants to give you and me repentance or comfort, joy of a new future life in Christ. Amen? Turning to a new life that is free from the bondage of slavery and sin. That's what repentance is. That's what God wants to give you. He doesn't want to just give you sorrow for your past sins. He wants to give you comfort for a new life with Him. So, say, Pastor, how do we get repentance? How do we get this comfort? Because if you've ever struggled with sin, it ain't easy. If you've ever had sin have its hooks in you, it is not easy to let go. You know why? Because if it was, then we would take the glory. Oh yeah, I used to do this, but I stopped. Sometimes we can't stop. And sometimes God allows that so we can't stop. So that we finally get on our knees and say, God, I need help. I'm in trouble here. I've tried everything I can. I can't do it. Amen. And that's where God can step in and do His miracles, because then He gives the gift of repentance and He gets the glory when He gives us that new life. Again, the problem comes when we don't know everything the Bible teaches on the subject. It happens when we begin to think repenting is our work, something that we work on, thinking that we're the ones who do repenting. Turn with me to the book of Acts and let's see how this thing happens. How do we get it? We know we need it. We know it's crucial. So turn to Acts chapter 5. Let's see what the Bible says about how we get this thing called repentance. Acts chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 30. And as you're turning there, some of the kids told me, we still want to see the pictures. Peek back behind you, kids. There you go. You can see a little bit of an answer. All right. How do we get this? Acts chapter 5, verse 30. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. How do we get repentance? Through Jesus, He gives it to us. It is a gift. We talk about salvation being a gift sometimes, but we have to realize that even repentance is not something we work on inside of us. It's something we receive. It's only something we accept. We cannot earn it. God is willing to change our minds about sin, willing to change our minds about Jesus, and to give us comfort. And all we have to do is to accept God's work in us, to accept the gift of repentance. And there is no more powerful gift on the planet to change a life. So since that time, since the time of the Bible, believers have been called upon to share this task of Jesus' sermon series, the message of repentance. But folks, sometimes we're not all that helpful to God, because we don't remember what leads us to repentance. I had a lady one time who called me up at church, got me on the phone, and she was mad. Oh, she was steaming mad. She told me about a guy at my church who had been cheating on his wife. And she said to me, what type of church are you running down there? Well, you don't get asked that a whole lot. So I assured her that I had just found out what was happening, and that I had made an appointment to meet with this man. But then she informed me that she had already confronted him at a local restaurant, and she had yelled at him in the restaurant and told him what he was doing was wrong, yelled at him in front of everybody. She felt that she had done her Christian duty by berating this sinful man. So I went to visit him in his home, and he told me about the incident in the restaurant. Do you think this lady's yelling at him, do you think that led him to repentance when I came there? Now, he was guilty. He was guilty of the sin that she blasted him about. But do you think he was now sorry for his sin and wanting to change his mind? No, he was just ticked off at the lady for what she had done. He was just angry at her. She had forgotten what it is that actually leads us to repentance. She had forgotten a crucial Bible text. Let me show this one to you too, because I don't want you to forget it, or me. Turn to Romans chapter 2. We know we need repentance. We know we've got nothing without it. How do we get it? We know it's a gift, but what leads us to accept this gift? Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2, I think I'll start in verse 3. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? What leads to repentance? A good old-fashioned tongue-lashing. That's what gets them. What leads to repentance? Shaming someone in public. Surely that will cause them. No. It's the goodness of God that changes the mind and leads to repentance. Friends, we can't force ourselves or others to repent. So stop trying. It's a gift from God. We receive this gift, this change of mind, as we discover the goodness of God. That's what leads us to repentance. So when you read the Bible, what are you focused on? There are plenty of warnings in the Bible, but if that's all we focus on, we will try to scare our way into behavior. But if we focus on the goodness of God, that's where the true power is. So let me try to boil it down. This is a large subject on repentance. I'm going to boil it down to a simple, single sentence that I learned from Pastor Byrd when I was in Tennessee. I was supposed to be up on the screen so you could write it down, but just try to write it in your brain. Repentance is feeling about things the same way that God does, and then by his power, acting accordingly. I'll say it again. Repentance is feeling about things the same way God does, and then by his power, acting accordingly. And this, friends, is how repentance brings comfort. Because God doesn't just forgive the past sins, he gives us a new heart so that we start feeling about things, we start feeling about sin the same way God does. And then we turn away from the sin, both in our heart and in our actions. And that's the power of repentance. This is why Jesus preached this message. I know of a young lady who years ago suffered with smoking. And she had had a change of heart, and she knew she wanted to stop. And she tried. And she quit. Dozens of times she quit smoking. And had to go back every time. She even tried the different things. She tried the patch. She tried everything. Couldn't stop. Finally, the day of her baptism, she prayed to God. And she said, Lord, you know, I've tried everything in my power. I've tried everything I know what to do. I can't stop. You're going to have to take it away. She was baptized that day. She's never smoked again.
Praise the Lord.
She never wanted to smoke again. That's the power of repentance. How do I know that story so well? Because I married that gal. God can change us. And there were things that I was doing in my life that for a long time I didn't want to stop. Then God told me you needed to. And then I wanted to, but I couldn't. Hardest one for me was to give up drinking. Even after I knew I wanted to stop, I couldn't. I finally said, God, it's up to you. I've tried. You got to take it away. Haven't drank since. Been around friends who drink. Never had a desire. They're like, oh boy, I really miss that. It's just gone. I can't explain it other than God's power to change lives. This is why Jesus preached this message, friends. And this is still the sermon series that God wants his people to share. Are we willing to share today? I almost skipped down the steps on my way to my apartment. I was on top of the world after that first Bible study. I was feeling great. I could not wait to get home to tell Jeanette about what had happened. And I had no clue that I was about to learn a lesson on instant repentance. I walked through the door to show my wife her conquering hero, to show her Bible study man, returning home for the first time as a successful pastor, all by myself. I did the study. I walked through the door, and the smile on my face vanished as I saw my bride looking at me like this. And all she said was, I'm going to bed. She got up and she went to the bedroom and, wait, what? No, the conquering hero. Bible study man, what's going on? And then I noticed the clock. And it was after 10 p.m. And I had told Jeanette that I would be home sometime around 8 p.m. And these were the days before pastors carried cell phones in their pockets. She had been waiting and worrying for 2 hours and had no one to call. In that moment, friends, I had instant repentance. Remember what repentance is? It's a change of mind, a sorrow for sin, even when you thought you were doing what was right. Instantly, my mind changed from triumphant pastor to humble and sorrowful husband. And I felt the way she was feeling about things. I was sorry for my wrong. But the great thing about repentance from God is it's not just sorrow for the wrong, but it's comfort for the future. It's a change, and my actions changed that night. For one, I never tell Jeanette exactly when I'm going to be home anymore. Learn that lesson. For two, I now call or text when I am on my way home. Remember, repentance is feeling about things the way God does, and then by his power, acting accordingly. And Jesus shows us how crucial repentance is because it's the sermon series of the Bible. And praise God, it's a gift. Amen. Would you like to accept Jesus' gift of repentance in your heart today? It's a gift that can forever change you. Not just forgiving your past. That would be great enough. But it's a gift from God, purchased by the blood of Jesus, that can forever change your future, bringing you and me comfort and a peace of a walk with God. What a gift. Will you accept that gift in your life? Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that we are challenged today. challenged by your message of repentance, Lord, that each and every person walking this planet, each and every person sitting in this church needs to hear. Because, Lord, we need to know that we cannot do it on our own. And too many of us have been trying for so long, and that's what leads to dour-faced Christians and more Sadventists than Adventists. Lord, we don't need that anymore. We need to stop focusing on our efforts and start focusing on you. And let your goodness change our minds. Let your power work in our hearts, Lord. But the hardest thing to do is not to earn it, not to work for it, but to just accept it. So Lord, right now in the quietness of this moment, with so many things on our minds of work and worry, let us push those things aside for just a while. That we may listen to you, Lord. That we may listen to your goodness. And right now, Lord, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there are people out there today who are feeling the call to accept your repentance that only you can give, then I just invite any of those folks right now just to raise your hand. If you need God's repentance today, if you need that power to live for God today, then I invite you to raise your hands up to him. For he can see him, and he needs to see it. Thank you. Lord, the gift is offered. May we accept it today. And may repentance not just bring us sorrow, but may it bring us comfort and joy as you change our minds so we feel about things the way you do. And we begin to love what you love and hate what you hate. Lord, we thank you for this gift. I thank you for each person here today that has given their heart to you and accepted your repentance. Now, Lord, help us to remember the extreme price that was paid through the blood of Jesus for our gift of repentance. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you, for it is your blood that washes us clean and your gift of repentance that helps us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those willing to accept his gift said, amen. Amen. Amen.